Whoa. You should see what you fools look like through this thing, man.
Sci-fi action podcast. Allow this to be your cure as well.
Welcome everyone to a late night recording session of the show, A Cure for the Common Crag.
Is it a show?
This is a show. What do you mean it's not a show? This isn't a show?
I guess. I just never thought of it like a show.
What are you talking about? Just because it's not a TV show?
I guess.
TV, Nicole?
We don't have anything to show them.
It's still a show, right, Poppy? Anyway, that's just silly that it's not a show. Of course it's a show. Give me a break. Like in the movie Willy Wonka, there's the character TV Mike.
Yeah.
Well.
Or it's Mike TV.
Mike TV, thank you. In this house, we have Nicole TV. Because that's you. You know all about TV and shows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Poppy knows too. Poppy's right here because she's active. Because it's late, so she's excited. She's been sleeping all day, being ornery, and now she's going to be ornery on the show, because this is a show, right, Poppy? Yeah, that's right. Shh. Oh, she got shushed. Oh, my goodness. Nicole, did you know that this is another quarantine episode of A Cure for the Common Crag, the show?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a coronacation show.
Coronacation show. Yeah, but I'm still working.
Well, I am too. Just from home.
Yes, you just have a lot more at home time than I do.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right.
I might be a little jealous.
That's okay.
Well, Poppy's a wild one. She's a wild one.
And also, Nicole has been here with three cats for like a month.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you were getting to lose your mind a little bit. Because these cats are crazy.
They
And Appa and Poppy, they're always at each other's throats, going nuts, chasing and yelling at each other.
Yep. There is definitely sibling rivalry there.
Yes. Sibling rivalry. Well, as this all continues, we're going to keep making these episodes for you to listen to. And out of the past couple of quarantine episodes, we had the Linda Blair actor autopsy, which was surprisingly to me, not very popular. Not that many people are interested in that episode. Because maybe they don't know who Linda Blair is. They don't realize she was in The Exorcist, one of the best horror movies of all time. I don't know what your problem are out there, listeners. What's the matter with you? But, yeah, Linda Blair in The Exorcist. That's what the majority of that episode
is
about The Exorcist.
Yeah, sure.
That's really our focus of fear in that episode, Nicole. Yeah. Right?
Well, and then we had, you know,
Adorable Animals All Out Attack.
Adorable Animals All Out Attack.
Rats. That episode has proven to be a little bit more popular.
Okay.
People like rats. They're interested in sunshine and Windmill, or they're interested in Willard.
Or Ben.
Or Ben.
Or Socrates.
Or Socrates. Nicole. So we've talked about Linda Blair. We've talked about adorable animals and their all-out attack featuring rats. And now today, Nicole, we're going to talk about title versus title. But before we get to that, let's talk about something for just a second. Did you know that there's someone who lives in Kansas? And his name is Matt in Kansas, or Matt from Kansas. Although he's not originally from Kansas.
But I think you've said that before, anyway. Matt from Kansas.
Matt from Kansas, though. Have you heard of him?
I have.
Okay, he's a loyal listener and a loyal friend, correct?
Yes.
Yes, yes. He's our close personal friend, not just a listener.
Not just Matt from Kansas.
We've established that before as well. Well, we were talking on some recent episodes about this place being like the, you know, the Common Craig homestead or headquarters or something like that. Well, Matt from Kansas, he had this idea. He thinks that it should be called the CCC.
Okay.
And it should be the Center for Craig Control.
Or you could add another C, Center for Common Craig Control.
That's too many C's. Oh. So just the Center for Craig Control. And also CCC, you could call it the Common Craig Compound, if you want to get kind
Command
of creepy.
Command Center.
Creepy and like, you know, sinister sounding. Because a compound, like, you know, those are bad news, right? That's like a cult compound or something. So yeah, we've got like cult members in here, like Poppy and Ookla and Appa.
I guess the CCC could just be Common Craig Cult.
Yes.
Cult for Common Craig.
Uh-huh. Your eyes are getting kind of weird. Anyway, so here we are at the CCC, perhaps the Center for Craig Control. So, yes, I like that. I thought that was amusing. Good job, Matt from Kansas. Right?
Right.
Right. Now, we're not going to mess around anymore. We're just going to get right into this business. We're going to talk about what today, Nicole? What is this episode theme again?
So, it's title versus title.
Title versus title. Two movies with the exact same title.
Title.
Both of these movies happen to have that same title, and it's just one word. A one-word title. Nicole, I'm going to let you do the big reveal here.
Okay.
Okay, and then we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the first one. So what the point of this is it's kind of like a mass or murder. We'll still a mass or murder both movies. We can still do that.
Okay.
But ultimately, what we're trying to decide by the end of this episode is which movie is the victor between these two, title versus title.
Okay.
Which one is better? Which one, you know, we prefer, however you want to look at it.
Okay?
So, Nicole, what are these movies called?
Fortress.
Yes. One of them is from 1985, and the other one is from 1992.
Okay.
Now, there are a couple of other movies, at least one other movie, called Fortress, and then I believe there's another one called The Fortress.
Uh-huh.
Nope, just these two, head-to-head, 1985, 1992. Got
Fortress.
It? Fortress, yes. So we'll take a quick break, we'll come back, and we'll talk about
Fortress.
All right, Nicole, are you ready to talk about Fortress?
I am.
Which one are we going to talk about?
The 1985 one?
Yes, 1985, that's correct. 1985, Fortress from 1985, Nicole.
Okay.
Now this, okay, so this movie is actually a TV movie.
Really?
Yes. Apparently in the United States, it was released through HBO. I don't know if HBO... really, like, developed it, but apparently HBO was behind its release in the United States, but as a television movie.
Okay.
In Australia, where the movie was made, it may have had like a theatrical release there.
Sure.
But in the States, the United States, a TV movie.
Okay.
All right. So Fortress, from 1985, originally released as an HBO TV movie, November 24th of that same year, 1985. Let's just keep saying 1985.
1985.
Yes, we were alive in 1985. The movie runs 1 hour and 25 minutes, Nicole. It is an action, adventure, thriller, according to IMDb.
I can see that.
I would agree with that.
I would
action,
agree.
Adventure, thriller.
I agree.
Yes, I agree with that as well. Hey, Nicole. What do you say we read the IMDb description for Fortress from 1985?
Okay, deal.
All right. Now, I feel this is probably a movie that a lot of people have not seen. Right?
I agree. Because it's little known.
Poppy's growling at Appa. That was me growling.
That was Craig.
Imitating.
There's going to be a big fight now.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be all kinds of problems now. My goodness. All right. So the IMDb description for this movie that not that many people have seen goes like this, Paige Turner. An Australian school teacher and her students are kidnapped. She and the children fight for their lives and try to escape from their captors. Yeah, okay.
Well essentially.
Yeah, they didn't really try to fancy that up at all.
It doesn't really sound that impressive.
Yeah, boy. How boring. Now, this movie, I saw this movie as a youngster.
On HBO in 1985?
Back in the 80s. No, because we didn't have cable because we lived in the middle of the woods and there was no cable around or anything. But it eventually got distributed to syndicated television stations through some sort of movie package or something probably. Okay. So I saw it on KBSI Channel 23 when I was growing up.
Okay.
Did you ever see this movie before this time when we watched it right now? When we just watched it?
I've seen it prior, but with you.
Yes, so not, we watched it before. Not, so you didn't see it in your youth.
No.
No.
I do get a kick out of, the kids talking to the school teacher, though, in this movie.
What do you mean?
They always call her Miss.
Miss.
And hear it in a little kid voice, Miss!
Miss! And
Miss.
they have Australian accents, too.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of factor that in. Because the movie takes place in Australia, Nicole.
Yeah. I guess the kids are pretty courteous, though.
They're pretty courteous, yeah.
Yeah.
Miss. And, well, before we get to this, yeah, the director is Ark Nicholson. And he hasn't really done, a whole lot. Some Australian productions, things like that. The primary star of the movie is Rachel Ward, who plays the character Sally Jones, the school teacher, Miss. She appeared previously in Sharky's Machine with Burt Reynolds in 1981, Night School, a slasher movie from 1981, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid with Steve Martin in 1982. Do you know who Steve Martin is?
I do.
Okay. The Thornbirds miniseries from 1983. The Final Terror, which is a horror film from 1983. Against All Odds from 1984. After Dark, My Sweet with Jason Patric in 1990. And she's still doing things today, Nicole.
Okay.
She was the voice of Peter Rabbit's mother in Peter Rabbit 2018. So anyway, Rachel Ward, she's been around for a while. She's done a lot of stuff over the years. So, what's the setup for this movie, Nicole?
Well, the setup, so obviously she boards at this, two of her students' house. you know, because, you know, it's a rural area, so they probably had to advertise for a teacher, and like, she rents a room at this farmhouse, basically, and two of the students, you know, they walk to school, and it's a one-room schoolhouse, all ages.
Yeah, and there's this scene at the beginning, maybe with some of the title credits going on, where they're walking on a train track. Do you remember this? They're walking down a train track, and you can see the train approaching from behind them, and there's no urgency or anything. They're just kind of like moseying along. And finally the train starts, you know, like blowing its horn. Is that what a train does? Blows its horn? Guess. Yeah. And finally, and still they're just like, all right. So they like move off the tracks and then like the train goes by and like,
I kind of feel like they should have got off a lot earlier.
Yeah. Maybe shouldn't be on those tracks like that. Nicole, that seems dangerous. What a dangerous example to set for a school teacher. Isn't that right?
It was the 80s.
Oh my gosh. The 80s were a wild time where anything could happen, specifically in Australia.
Okay. They were really relaxed. The 80s were pretty relaxed on, you know, child endangerment laws and stuff like that.
Yes, especially in Australia. Anyway, so, yeah, so like you said, a one-room schoolhouse. Now, Nicole, what the hell is that? You know, today in modern times, kids don't even go to school anymore because they're not allowed to interact with each other socially because there's some kind of crazy virus thing going on. So what is this one-room schoolhouse? What is that?
So one-room schoolhouse means that all kids, regardless of their age or what grade they're in, are in one room with one teacher.
That's
so
weird.
They most of have different lesson plans.
So what do you think this, like, what do you think, like, the range is? Do you think it goes from, and if we say it in, like, Canadian terms, not Australian, although they might say it that way, too, grade, do they start in grade one? And continue to grade 8?
I have no idea.
Because you don't say 8th grade in Canada. You say grade 8. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, I've heard people say that. And they're Canadian.
Okay. So, like, I don't know. The kid's missing his teeth, so he's probably, like, you know, like 6 or 7. So
you
age.
Think, like, yeah, you know,
and
like
then
pretty
I
young.
All the way up to, like, you know, I would say the oldest boys were like 15.
Yeah, and like there's the older girl too, and she's probably, I feel like a couple
she's
of them are.
She's got boobs.
Oh my God, Nicole. A couple of them are like probably close in age, you know, like they're probably like, I don't know if they're necessarily paired up by age or anything, but yeah, you have certain kids who look like they're about the same age, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know how many kids. I never counted how many
kids
in that
class. Kids. You know, they're all over the place all the time. They're probably about, like, what do you think,
eight,
like 10 kids?
Eight,
yeah, 8 to 10 kids,
eight
maybe?
8 to 10 kids, probably.
I bet there's probably about 10 kids, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, one teacher, 8 to 10 kids.
And, yeah, they're just in the classroom, you know, la-di-da, regular.
But this happens pretty early on in the movie.
Oh, yeah,
so
they don't mess
get
around.
So, they all get into class. You know, it's kind of showing some shenanigans in the classroom, like the dynamics between the kids. And then all of a sudden, there's like this weird mask in a window. This
guy wearing
a mask.
The kids saying that, they're saying like, you know, like, hey, miss, we see somebody outside. Where, you know, I saw like a mouse outside or something like that. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Sir, have you finished the name slips for the science table?
Yes, miss.
We'll put them on the table then. Sarah, have you and Toby finished colouring your Australia?
Can I use the sticky tape,
yes,
please?
Be careful with the scissors.
Don't keep stabbing me with his ruler.
Miss Jones.
What?
Where's Mac the Mouse, miss?
That's fascinating, Tommy, but we're not having news this morning.
No, miss, I'm going to really see
him. It saw him, and will you get back to the corner?
But he's out there, miss. I see him creep past the window.
Will you all get back to your seats this minute?
Miss Jones? There's Pussycat and Mac the Mouse, another animal out there. They're hiding, but I saw them.
So did I really did. I wasn't fooling. Sue saw them too.
Shh, sit down, all of you.
And she's like, all right, you know, kids, stop messing around. And then, yes, she's standing at the window and they're looking past her. And she then turns around and, yeah, there's somebody in a mask outside.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary. I don't remember the first one we see. Is the first one we see the duck?
Yeah, I think it is.
It could be. So you got a duck, right?
A
somebody
duck,
wearing a duck mask.
You got a mouse.
You got a mouse. I believe you have a cat as well, right?
Yeah, you got a cat.
And then who's the, kind of the main one, Nicole? You have four of these people in masks.
Well, they call him Father Christmas.
Father Christmas, yes.
So Santa.
Santa Claus.
But they do say Father Christmas.
But they never say Santa Claus. They say Father Christmas in Australia, apparently. Maybe Canada, too. Anyway, so... I'm just goofing around.
Like, Canada has nothing to do with Australia.
It doesn't. We're just going back to Canada. You know, we just want to talk about the Canadians again. Right back to Canada.
I think you have a crush on Canadians.
Oh, there are wonderful people up in Canada. That's right.
You want some poutine, don't you?
Oh, that would be delicious, yes. Anyway, so continue on, Nicole. I'm sorry for interrupting. Then what happens after the people in masks show up?
Basically, they just, the people in masks gather them all up and make them get in a van.
Yeah, but how do they do that? Because they're like, the teacher, Miss, wants to lock the doors of the one-room schoolhouse. But then the kids are like, no, you can't, Miss, because Toby's outside. And Toby's outside peeing in the outhouse outside. So then, you know, like, they show Father Christmas has a gun, a shotgun, pointed at Toby. And Toby, how old is Toby?
Toby's like
five,
six,
or something.
Yeah.
He's really young, right?
Yeah, Toby's like the youngest one. And it's not really like an outhouse. I mean, it's more of like a...
An outhouse.
Well, it's more of like a bathroom at a park or something. Mm, you know, like...
Yeah, an outhouse.
A latrine.
Okay. If you say so. Like an outhouse to me.
It's a brick... out a brick latrine.
Anyway, so yes, these people in masks, they gather up these kids at gunpoint and Miss. They gather them all up and they put them in a van, and then they're mean.
Children, let's have a song.
Shut up.
And they say kind of crude things, you know, like about the teacher, Miss.
I reckon the teacher would be good for a gangbang, eh?
And about I think her name is Narelle.
Narelle.
Yeah, a little,
the oldest girl.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, she's the oldest girl and she's got a chest.
Yep.
And
because the younger people don't have chests. Toby, for instance, he does not have a chest.
He's a six-year-old
kid. He's chestless. He doesn't have any chest.
So.
I'm kidding.
Anyway.
But yeah,
so, they make rude, crude comments about their bodies.
Yeah, you know, kind of suggestive things. Yeah. You know, like, we'd like to get a piece of that.
And
you know,
like,
that kind
of
stuff.
She's like a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah,
like,
stop being perverts.
Yeah, you pervy peds.
Yeah, with your masks on.
So, like, I get the feeling... Like, I think they do say that they're just holding them for ransom.
Yes, that's
so, like,
the
that's
idea.
So, that's the agenda behind the whole kidnapping, is they're just wanting money.
They want to hold them for ransom so that they'll get money. Yes.
So, basically, they take them on this long car ride and hide them.
They dump them off in a cave.
They hide them in a cave and block the cave's entrance with a big boulder. And then they leave.
Yep, and they just leave. And yes, so, you know, the Miss is trying to keep these kids from, like, going crazy. But yeah, remember, like, there's the one point where they're putting them in the cave.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of have to slide down into the entrance. And, you know, I said to you, like, if I was being held at gunpoint by these creepy people in masks, you know, I wouldn't be offering a lot of back talk as a kid. I would have been like, oh my God. You know, like, as a kid, I would have thought, you know, like, I'm dead. You know, like, we're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, even as a child. But these kids are like, I'm hungry.
Is it very dirty?
Oh, for goodness sake, just go.
It's a piece of cake.
I'm hungry.
You can't be. You've just had breakfast.
That was hours ago.
When it's lunchtime.
And it's like, come on.
There was a lot of whining.
Yeah,
going
a lot of
on.
Whining.
And I would think that as a kid, you'd be too scared to give them any back talk or lip.
Yeah.
You know, those kids probably never got, I was going to say, hit or something like that, but that's kind of rude and wrong to say. Those kids probably never got slapped on the face. Probably yes, not.
Those children were probably never beaten by their parents or something. My God.
Mickey, you gotta cut that out. I don't want anybody to think my
parents... Oh, we're leaving all this in. Your parents were beating you senseless as a kid. Now, there's kind of a primary sequence in the cave, right?
Right.
Because they're looking for a way out. They try to move the boulder. They can't move the boulder because, you know, they're too frail or something. Yeah. They don't have... Their chests are not large enough to move the boulder.
They don't have the upper body strength.
Right. That's exactly what I was trying to say. So, there's this whole sequence where they find an escape route or route, depending on what part of the country you're from. So, there's a pool of water kind of in the back of the cave, the rear of the cave.
The rear of the cave.
And there's light coming up. From the water.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, that must be a way out.
Must be.
So they test it, you know, like Miss and
yeah,
one of the kids
and
that,
Miss has to take off her clothes.
Yeah, one of the kids that lives at the house where Miss lives, she goes with one of the kids, has to take off her clothes to get in the water, of course, you know, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
You don't really see anything.
No.
But and she leaves her undies on, right?
Yeah.
So swims it, tests it, and yes, she comes back with, like, some sort of, like,
Just a, like, a fern frond.
Yeah, something, you know. So, yeah, she comes back with that to prove, you know, like, look, I found, you know, nature.
Yes.
A different form of nature than this rocky cave.
Yeah.
With water in it.
Right.
Which are all parts of nature. But, yes, so then they have this, you know, like, situation where all the kids, they're going to try to get all the kids out of this entrance, or this exit, I guess is what it is, an exit, right?
Yeah.
So,
but it's an underwater tunnel.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they have to swim through the water with these children. And so someone, they usually pair up, right? They're paired up and like trying to get out. At one point, Miss is trying to get out with one of the kids and like starts freaking out and like hitting her head on the roof of the, you know, underwater area where they're trying to get through this tunnel. And thankfully, the boy, I think his name is Sid, comes kind of to the rescue and, you know, gets him out of there. But,
you know, I guess, like, she'd done it a few times and, man, she just had a little freak out, right?
Yeah, she had a little freak out. So, apparently, the water was very cold, they said. Maybe she's not used to the cold. Maybe she's just exhausted.
Yeah.
Stressed out because of
being held
at gunpoint. I wouldn't want to
swim through this tunnel, like... I wouldn't do well with that, a blind swim test like that, not knowing if there was any air out there.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
But anyway, so they, you know, they do get out of the cave because it has to get to that point for the movie to progress further.
Right.
So, yes, they continue on then, and, you know, there's a farmhouse in the distance, so they try to get to the farmhouse, and, you know, from there, unfortunately, when you escape a situation... Nicole, keep this in mind for when you need to escape in the future.
Okay.
You don't always necessarily want to stop at the first place you see.
Yeah, no.
Because this happens in movies and stories and reality.
They always catch up there.
Yep, because who's waiting for them at this farmhouse, Nicole?
You know, Father Christmas
and the gang. Yep, yeah. They're all there. So, yes, then, you know, eventually we're not going to, you know, we won't spoil too much here. But, you know, they manage to get away from this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up kind of still trying to, like... And, you know, again, this is a very rural area, so there's not really much around.
Right.
So they end up getting to, like, this kind of mountainous area, rocky terrain.
Right. Basically, they find another cave.
Yes.
And make it into their fortress.
Yes, this is the fortress from the title, right?
Right.
And then... Yeah, like you said during the movie as we were watching it, you know, toward the end, and, you know, really, like, yeah, it's very evident this, like, this whole situation becomes, like, this weird, like, you know, kind of Lord of the Flies reference almost toward the end.
It definitely becomes, like, the kids turn a little feral.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly.
And,
yeah.
It is enjoyable to watch that, I think. And it's,
you like it when the kids get... Get wild,
you know,
and crazy.
They came from, you know, timid little kids to, you know, they learned what was what.
That's right. They learned what was what. So it's like a coming of age, even for young Toby, who's only like 5 years older or something.
Yep,
like that.
He definitely learned how to, you know, survive his kidnapping.
That's right. Go for it, Toby. We've said enough about the ending, I think. Okay. We won't say what happens at the end, but there's like a little wrap up at the end as well. A wrap up at the end. So, Nicole, overall, what do you think of Fortress from 1985, this TV movie that was brought to the U.S. by HBO?
Okay, so I do think that this movie is definitely worth a watch, and it definitely needs to be amassed.
Yes.
Okay, into the collection. So, I have to say it's a little slow in the beginning, and even to halfway, it's a little slow. The best part, though, is the ending, and I really like that Lord of the Flies quality that the kids get, and I love that, just that feeling at the end of this movie. I really like the feel the kids put out there.
Okay.
You know, in the one of, in some of the end scenes, that's the best part for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with that. Yes. I think this movie is also an amass and definitely worth a watch. I will say that most of the time, I think the kids do pretty well. You know, even when they're whining and complaining, you know, even though maybe it's a little out of character for the situation, like, I still feel like, you know, as actors, they do a pretty solid job, right?
I mean, I feel like they're being real kids, but I don't know how scared they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, Fortress, I think we would both amass the movie. So no murdering Fortress from 1985.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a keeper. And even the slow part is kind of peaceful because, you know, sometimes they're just walking through the what you guess is Australia, and so it's pretty.
It's Australia!
Yeah!
Yeah! Alright, so, this movie, Fortress, the 1985 Fortress, is based on a novel by Gabrielle Lord. And the novel is loosely based on a 1972 kidnapping called the Faraday School Kidnapping, which actually happened in Australia in 1972. So what happened in this kidnapping is that two men, kidnapped a woman, a teacher, and her students. I don't remember how many, but they were all girls. They were all female. So they kidnapped them and were holding them for ransom.
Okay.
So that is a true event. And apparently, these guys had the idea to proceed with this Faraday School kidnapping because they saw the movie from 1971, a U.S. film called Dirty Harry, Nicole.
Oh, no.
Where there's a scene of kids being kidnapped as well. So what this all goes back to is that Hollywood and the movies, they should all be shut down because they give people bad ideas.
No,
I'm kidding. That's not really how I feel. But, yeah, you know, unfortunately,
they had the idea because of Dirty Harry.
Apparently, yes. That's where they got the idea. It's from Dirty Harry, a kidnapping in Dirty Harry. Unbelievable, Nicole.
Unbelievable.
Now, there's a weird connection between Fortress 1985 and Fortress 1992.
Really?
And the connection is not really that weird. But they share an actor.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But in Fortress 1985, he's never seen. His face is never seen on screen.
Right.
Which is kind of odd to me. Like, I wonder if there was some sort of issue with, like, he wanted to work. You know, he wanted to get paid, but like, maybe there was some sort of contractual thing where he wasn't, like, supposed to be in the movie or something. I don't know. It just seems odd to me that you never actually see him.
Well, but there were a few that, like, so there were four kidnappers.
Yes.
You only ever saw two of the kidnappers' faces.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't see two of them.
No. Yeah, so Vernon Wells is the actor. He plays the character, the kidnapper. Dabby Duck is what he's referred to as
the duck
in the credits. Yeah. And Vernon Wells is primarily in mostly like action movies and usually plays like the heavy. He's like a villain most of the time.
He always plays the heavy.
Yeah. So he was in The Road Warrior from 1981, Mad Max 2 in Australia. Yes. And then in the U.S., it's just mainly known as The Road Warrior. He plays the character Wes in that movie, who's kind of a mohawked character, who's kind of a nuisance to Mad Max.
He has the cleft chin.
Yeah. And then he appears in 1985, kind of playing a very similar looking character in the movie Weird Science.
Oh, with Anthony Michael Hall.
That's right, Nicole! Also from, that's from 1985. But then also, so yeah, Fortress is from 1985. Weird Science is from 1985. And then a very high profile appearance for Vernon Wells in a movie that we recently discussed because of the director Mark L. Lester, who directed Roller Boogie.
Yeah.
Well, he also directed in 1985, as we mentioned, Commando, where Vernon Wells plays the arch nemesis of Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, Matrix. His arch nemesis, Vernon Wells, plays the character, Bennett. And of course, there's the classic line at the end of Commando where Arnold says, Nicole, what? You don't know. So he says, let off some steam, Bennett.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
So, yes. Commando, also 1985. So he's like the main villain.
1985 was a big year for that actor.
For Vernon Wells, yeah. He's the main villain in Commando. But then his face is not even seen in Fortress from 1985. Very strange to me. Doesn't that seem odd?
Seems a little odd. Yeah.
I don't know, it's weird.
Maybe he was doing somebody a favor, but he was stealing in. Maybe he just wanted a paycheck.
I mean, he's Australian. The movie was Australian. So, like, I don't know.
Maybe he knew somebody.
I don't know. Anyway, he later then appears in 1988 in an episode of a show that we've mentioned on our show here before, because this is a show, Nicole. And that TV show was called T and T, starring Mr. T. You know there's no stopping them, no stopping them, TNT. You remember when we talked about that, Nicole?
Yes, I do.
I'm sure the listeners do as well, huh?
Yeah. They remember everything.
Of course. And then he appears in Fortress from 1992. So maybe we'll talk about Fortress from 1992 in just a few moments, Nicole. Would you like to do that?
Okay.
All right.
At a one-room schoolhouse in the Australian outback, on a not-quite-ordinary day, 9 children and a teacher began to learn the lesson they would remember the rest of their lives.
We're going on a picnic.
A teacher and 9 children, stalked by terror.
You know how to catch a rabbit?
No, sir.
See, rabbits can't look straight ahead. So you come up on him from his blind spot, which is head on.
We've got to fight them! We outnumber them 4-1!
Can the tools of childhood be forged into weapons? Can courage build a fortress? Fortress, a lesson in survival.
All right, Nicole, this is title versus title, of course. So we're up to Fortress
1992.
Oh, yes, you're right. That's right. So, you want to hear some details about this one?
Yeah, give me those statistics.
Okay. Now, all right. Well, Fortress from 1992 was released Labor Day weekend of 1992. That is September 3rd of 1992. The movie is rated R, Nicole. Can you believe that this movie is rated R?
Yeah.
I can, because it's got quite a bit of violence in it.
Yeah.
Now, it runs 1 hour and 35 minutes. Nicole, it is described as a action, crime, sci-fi thriller. What do you think about that?
Those are a lot of tags, but they're all accurate.
Yeah, pretty accurate stuff, yeah. Woo! Oh, Poppy, I'm sorry. All right, here's a description from IMDb, but I don't like it. And there are multiple descriptions for it, and I don't like any of them. So we're just going to go with the first one, because it seems to be the shortest. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
In a future, private, underground prison, / fortress, the inmates are computer-controlled with CCTV, closed-circuit television. I don't know, Poppy, why they even had to put that in this thing. Dream readers and devices that cause pain or death. John and his illegally pregnant wife are inside, but want to escape before birth.
Yeah, I don't care for that either.
I don't care for that description, but I mean it. I mean it's right. I just don't think it's particularly well written, Nicole. Oh my god. Anyway.
What a snob.
Yeah, what a snob. All right. Now, Nicole, as far as the budget goes, the budget... Yeah, Poppy, I don't know. It's anywhere from $8 to $12 million, apparently. I found multiple sources. So, $8 million budget, $12 million budget, I don't know, somewhere in between, perhaps. Let's call it $10 million budget, Nicole, just for fun.
Okay.
All right. And then also, okay, we know that the movie opened making essentially $4 million on its opening weekend. Also, at the theaters that weekend, Nicole, number one that weekend, Labor Day weekend of 1992, The Fugitive, starring Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones. Number two, The Man Without a Face, starring Mel Gibson and a burned face or something like that. Number three was Hard Target, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme rocking a mullet in New Orleans. Number four, still hanging on from the summer, Jurassic Park. Oh my god, Jurassic Park. Give somebody else a shot, huh?
Come on. You and know then, you like it.
And then number five, also opening this weekend, Needful Things, a Stephen King adaptation. And it beat number six, Fortress, by $10,000 that
okay.
weekend. So
wow.
Not much. Pretty close call there between five and six. Anyway, the overall take is also, who knows what's accurate here. One source claimed that in the U.S., Fortress ended up making $6.7 million, which isn't that great.
No.
Especially after opening at $4 million, then the rest of the way it only made, you know, the other $2.7 million or something. But another source is claiming that worldwide, because of the international appeal of the main star of the movie, which we'll get to in a moment, it ended up making close to $40 million internationally, worldwide. So that's not that bad if it actually did make that much, which, that's, you know, somewhat in question. We don't know.
It's a lot better than, you know, what it made here.
6.7, yeah. Anyway, Nicole, who is the star of Fortress from 1992?
Christopher Lambert. Correct.
Christopher Lambert? Or is it Lambert? It's spelled Lambert right here, Nicole.
You know, I'm pretty sure that they say Lambert.
You have to say it Lambert. Christopher Lambert.
I'm pretty sure.
Because it sounds sexier. You think that's what it is?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Hey, Nicole. What movie, if you think Christopher Lambert, what movie in your mind is most identifiable with that actor, international superstar, Christopher Lambert?
Highlander.
Yes. What was it again?
Highlander.
Yes. I was talking while you were saying it.
Oh.
So I just wanted to make sure you were heard. Yes.
Highlander.
Yes, called Highlander from 1986. He also stars in Mortal Kombat in 1995 as Raiden. And he's in Highlander 2. He's in Highlander 3. He's in, a lot of other things, too. Christopher Lambert. A lot of action stuff over the years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Christopher Lambert, and his international appeal, he plays the character John Brennick.
Yes.
In this movie.
John Brennick.
John Brennick.
And him and his wife are trying to cross over into Canada.
His wife's name is Karen, and is played by Lauren Loughlin. Are they trying to cross into Canada or Mexico?
You're right. Mexico.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I feel like it was Mexico. Anyway.
Maybe I'm just hung up on Canada because you were...
Because I was talking about Canada
earlier.
Yeah. So anyway, they're trying to cross an international border is what they're trying to do. But what's the problem here, Nicole?
So the problem is like... I guess there's a lot of overcrowding.
This is the future. Apparently, the future of 2017.
Yeah. Really? 2017?
Yes. I believe it is 2017.
Okay, so you're only allowed one kid.
Yes, only one child is allowed.
Only one child is allowed.
But what's the weird situation here with the Brennicks?
Their kid died.
Yes, died at birth.
Died at birth. But you're only allowed one.
So it still counts even if... The child dies at birth.
Right. So.
So what's the problem here?
So she's pregnant.
She's pregnant. Yeah.
So she has a flak jacket on.
Yes. What is a flak jacket, Nicole?
Oh, a flak jacket is like a grenade or like a fragments can't get you. So it's like a, I get the feeling it's like they're scanning the women at the border. So basically it's just. Paneling her so that they don't scan for the fetus.
Yeah, it somehow defeats their scanners, their sensors, right?
Yeah.
But you got to hide it, because it's illegal. You're not supposed to be wearing it, right?
Right.
They know that that's the game. You're trying to, get past their devices if you're wearing a flak jacket, right?
Yeah.
Right. And apparently, in this future of 2017, yes. They have one child, as we say, it died at birth, and abortion is illegal. So,
So you're shit out of luck if you get pregnant.
But you, Nicole, your language. Now, anyway, you get the impression, certainly, that they would like to have the child. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They're trying to get out of the country. So that they can have their child.
Right, because to be fair, their child is not living.
Yeah.
They don't have a living child.
Right. But, of course, to set up the movie, they get nailed, right?
Well, basically, John sacrifices himself so that she can go on.
Yeah, so she can escape. Yes. Yeah. He gets captured.
So he thinks.
Yeah. So John captured, loaded onto this bus transport thing with a bunch of other convicts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be taken to this prison. And there's a guy on the transport who's freaking out. He can't relax. He's like, he's only going to be in there for like 90 days or something.
Yeah, he's got to
60 days, 90 days or something.
He's got to do like 3 months.
Yeah. So, his term is not even that bad. John's term, he asks him, hey, how long are you in for? And he said, 30, 31 years or something like that,
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, 30 plus years versus, the few months, come on, dude. But he's all wound up. He's like, where is this prison? Is it invisible? And he says it's supposed to be like 30 stories tall. But... Apparently, it is 30 stories, but where, Nicole?
Underground, Craig.
60 days in here, I gotta do.
That's not a short term, man. You're only taking a nap.
I never nap. What'd they get you for?
My wife was carrying a second child.
One wasn't enough.
He died at birth.
They tie your tubes?
They said they did. Guess we got lucky.
This ain't lucky. What they give you?
31 years.
You're smiling. How the fuck can you be smiling?
She got away.
You are about to enter a complete security environment. Crime does not pay.
It's 30 stories high. How could it be invisible?
Hey, calm down. Take a deep breath.
Forget him. He's dead.
Underground, Nicole, in the middle of nowhere, in the desert. Right?
Right.
Right. So the prisoners are processed. They have to disrobe. They come in naked. Everybody's looking at their junk when they're walking in.
Yeah, and it seems
the security guards are all like checking them out and stuff.
It seems kind of awkward.
Yeah. And then what happens, Nicole? They get forced to go in this room. And the security guards say, put your head in there.
Yeah.
So they have to put their head in this hole. These, like, clamps come around their necks and lock them in place so they can't get out. Their heads are stuck in this hole. Then this giant phallic device comes, like, raising up toward their mouth, goes into their mouth. And what does this do, Nicole?
So basically it's shooting, like, this little probe into their intestines.
Oh, yeah? A probe getting shot into their intestines.
That's right. Do you want to know what it's called, Craig?
I would like to know what this is called. Now, is it really a probe? It's a device.
I don't know.
We'll talk about what
really
it does.
It's not really a probe, but so it's called the Intestinator.
Of course it is, because this is 1992, and the device has to have a bitchin' name like Intestinator.
Intestinator.
That's right. So, yeah, this device then is in their intestines, I guess. That's why it's called an Intestinator.
Yeah.
It's in their body somewhere, right?
Right.
So, there are these lines that are drawn on the ground. The yellow line is pain, right? If you cross a yellow line with the Intestinator, you're going to get pain. So don't cross the yellow line. There are red lines. If you cross
death.
That, yes, it's death, Nicole. Yeah. So what happens, Nicole, to that one prisoner I was mentioning earlier who's got to spend, you know, like 60 to 90 days in prison? He starts freaking out, saying he's got claustrophobia. And he just cannot calm down. What does he do?
So, he crosses a yellow line. And he has pain. He has so much pain, he crosses the red line.
Yeah. And then what happens?
I have an illness. Now, it's called claustrophobia. It's a real illness!
Come on. Don't do this! No.
Remain in line. Do not cross the yellow line.
Nobody listens! I've had a note from my doctor.
Yellow is
pain. But I can't stay here! Will you listen? Will you please listen to me?
Your intestinator is now in pain mode.
Turn it off! Come on, you can turn it off!
Do not cross the red line. Red is death.
Stomach blows up.
His tummy pops.
Yep.
Yeah, like there's like a burst and he's dead. So man, he didn't even last like a few hours
in prison.
He didn't even get to the prison proper.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He didn't even get to Gin Pop.
So. We have Christopher Lambert, right?
Right.
Brennick. He's going to be on his way to Gen Pop. And he's with someone else. And for some reason, like, the cells are very overcrowded, too. So, Christopher Lambert and Clifton Collins Jr., as he's known these days, at this time he was going by Clifton Gonzalez Gonzalez.
Yes.
But now, yeah, in other things that he's been in, he seems to always go by Clifton Collins, Clifton Collins Jr. He plays the character Nino Gomez. They usually just call him Gomez. And yes, so they're both arriving at the same time, both going in the same cell, right?
Yeah.
And already in this cell
are three
other inmates. These inmates are Lincoln Kilpatrick, who plays Abraham. He has appeared in the past in The Omega Man with Charlton Heston, 1971. Soylent Green, also with Charlton Heston in 1973. It's a few genre pictures for you there. But he's been in a lot of things over the years.
Yeah.
Clifton Collins Jr., I didn't mention, who plays Gomez. And yes, or Clifton Gonzalez. He currently is in the television show Westworld. He made an appearance in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood last summer. He was with Clint Eastwood in The Mule just a couple of years ago. He was in Star Trek, the 2009 Star Trek. Nicole, he was in three episodes of Alias, one of your favorite shows from back in the day. So, he's been in a lot of stuff over the years. He's in a ton of stuff. He's very recognizable. And he's very young in this movie.
He is very, very young.
And even today, like, he's got a very youthful face.
Yeah.
Kind of a baby face guy, right?
Yeah.
Then, you also have horror genre veteran Jeffrey Combs appearing in this movie. Nicole, do you know what Jeffrey Combs is in? Any of the movies he's in?
Sure.
Can you name one?
The Frighteners.
He is in The Frighteners, yes.
You didn't think directed, I knew anything, did you?
Which was directed by Peter Jackson, and he plays kind of an oddball character in that. In most movies he's a little bit of an oddball character.
So, Reanimator.
He's not quite Crispin Glover level, like we were talking about last episode with Willard.
Wouldn't you like to see them weird off
That'd
together?
Be a hell of a team up, yes. Crispin Glover and Jeffrey Combs together, that'd be pretty good. Anyway, but yes, he's in Reanimator. When I think Jeffrey Combs, I think of him as Herbert West in Reanimator. And then he's also in From Beyond. He's in Castle Freak. He's in the early 90s Pit and the Pendulum. And all of those movies I just mentioned, they have something in common. The same director. And that same director directed Fortress as well. We'll get to him at the end of this Fortress discussion. Anyway, and then you have Tom Tolles, who's also in the cell. He plays the character Stiggs. He's also kind of a veteran of, action movies and some horror stuff. He was in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer with my boy, Michael Rooker, Oh, yeah. He plays Otis in that, who's just a despicable character. But he's also in a few of the more recent Rob Zombie movies. He was in House of a Thousand Corpses. He was in the Halloween remake from 2007. He was also in the Night of the Living Dead remake that was directed by Tom Savini. He was in that as well. Tom Tolles died in 2015, so not too long ago. I think he was only like 65. So those are the cellmates.
Yep.
Four new arrivals, the new fish at the prison, Christopher Lambert and Clifton Collins.
Yeah.
Clifton Gonzalez.
So, what do they call him? Nino?
Gomez.
So, Gomez gets in, trouble pretty early on because he's so young and cute.
Pretty much immediately, yeah. And, in the cell, it seems like Tom Tolles is kind of he's kind of like the brute, right? He's the big kind of brute character in the cell. And he has unsavory connections in the prison, too. But yeah, he kind of teases Gomez very early on. Hey, you can bunk with me. And there's the one line where he's kind of winking at him and maybe doing a little kissy face at him. You know, some of that stuff, right? And he also says, puss, puss, puss.
Hey, pretty boy. Come on. You can bunk with me. Night, night, sweetie.
Puss, 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 puss.
You remember that?
That's right, yes.
It's just kind of...
Trying to get him to come here.
A little unsettling, yeah.
You got a kick out of that.
Yes, it was very funny, because I had forgotten that that line of dialogue was in the movie. But yes, it's funny. So, but yes, Gomez then...
I have to say that our cats have never responded to anything like that.
Hey, Poppy, puss, puss, puss.
Yeah, she didn't even look at you.
No, she doesn't like it. No. Absolutely not. But... Then Gomez gets into more trouble when they're kind of out doing, like, work in the prison, right? Like, they're supposed to be on some sort of work detail. Well, he gets mixed up with one of Tom Toll's, one of his unsavory connections, who, at least early on, is kind of like the main villain, played by Vernon Wells.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You gotta stay away from those guys.
Yeah, watch out, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who's the real villain?
Well, the real villain, of course,
is Red Foreman.
Red Foreman, yes, from that 70s show. But the actor's name is Kurtwood Smith, and yes, he plays Director Poe, I think is generally how they refer to him. And Kurtwood Smith also, not just Red Foreman, is kind of one of the main villains in the original RoboCop from 1987. And he's been in a ton of stuff as well over the years, certainly.
Certainly.
But yes, he runs the prison. While Christopher Lambert is in the prison, he discovers what, Nicole? That maybe Karen did not escape as he thought she did.
Yeah. Well, so Director Poe... He's like a little pervert, and he likes to look in on people's dreams.
Yeah, he does.
So he's like, they have these little scanners that scan you, and...
you're not allowed to dream. If you start dreaming, what happens,
they
Nicole?
They shock you.
Yeah, well, you get the intestinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no dreaming.
No dreaming in prison.
There's no escape.
Nope, none at all. So, even fantasy.
But he likes to look in on the sexy dreams people
he
are having.
He sure does, yeah. And he has this device called Zed. It's like this elaborate computer system that he talks to, and it talks to him. And Zed's always like, you know, like, would you like me to intestinate? And he's like, no, not yet. No, this is a very interesting dream.
This is for study.
Yes. And he's really just watching, like, you know, sex dreams,
he's
pervert.
He's watching porn.
Yeah. Come on.
Shall I intestinate?
Just a moment longer, Zed. This is a fascinating dream. Quite instructive. Regarding the prisoner psychology.
Anyway, so, yeah, you've got Director Poe as the main villain, but let's get back to Vernon Wells, who plays the character Maddox, because they have a brawl, Christopher Lambert and Maddox, right?
Right.
They're punching, fighting, and again, Poe, he's watching this, and he doesn't want to break it up. You know, he's hoping one just kills the other, probably, right?
Right.
Just for his entertainment. Right. So, yeah, they end up, like, you know, fighting, and then they're put in, like, a, you know, death situation, right?
Yeah.
And Christopher Lambert, he rescues Maddox, the Vernon Wells character, from falling to his death.
Yeah.
And Poe does not appreciate this at all.
No.
So what does he do?
He intestinates Maddox.
Yeah. Both of them, really. Like, because Lambert gets, Christopher Lambert, I'm sorry, he gets intestinated too, but Vernon Wells, yeah, there's like this device that comes down and like blows a hole through his stomach.
Yeah.
So using like the intestinator as like a guide or something. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a hole right through. You can see right through.
Pretty yucky.
Yes. Yucky is the word, Nicole.
Yucky.
So then, yes, everybody's, you know, randomly intestinated and, you know, people are killed.
But his wife sees him from, like, levels up.
Yes. Yeah. So she knows that it's him and, you know, people are chanting, Brannick!
Right.
Because he's a hero now because he didn't allow Maddox to die. He saved Maddox. But
he
then
saved him.
The man killed Maddox.
That's right. Red Foreman.
And Christopher Lambert stuck it to the man by saving Maddox. But then Maddox was killed anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah. These prisons, they're like, they have these, like, invisible walls, right? That if you touch them, you get shocked, right?
Yes.
So you can't just get out of the prison, but there are no bars. You can see right out, but you also can't pass over that line. Mm-hmm. You'll get, like, burned and shocked, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, Poe, of course, takes an interest in Karen, Christopher Lambert's wife.
Right.
And all of this crazy stuff begins to ensue, right?
Yeah.
You have Abraham, who's in the cell, who's kind of like Poe's janitor or something.
Well, I get the feeling he's like Poe's like personal like assistant in his apartment. Like he shaves him and he gets
yeah, and he cleans like, things up. Yeah. And yeah.
So it's just like his he takes care of Director Poe during the day.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So they have this elaborate plan that they're going to escape now. They all want to escape after this big battle. Because it wouldn't be a prison movie if you didn't try and escape, right?
Exactly.
That's just how it happens.
Exactly.
So there's this crystal device that, like, Abraham steals from Director Poe's, like, lair.
I don't know what it's like a hologram crystal or
yes,
something.
Yes, and it has, like, a map on it. So, yes, they...
like, schematics of the prison.
Yes. So they use this, and then they use Jeffrey Combs, his glasses frames, to, you know, kind of put the crystal in the laser beam, you know, that blocks the entrance, you know. And then they can kind of see the map, and they're planning their escape and everything, and they're getting all excited about, you know, this escape plan. And, you know, but the problem is the intestinators, Nicole.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the problem, right? So what do they figure out here?
So, unbeknownst to anybody else, John Bennick has, like, palmed Maddox's intestinator. Because, obviously, it, you know, flew out of him.
It fell out of his tummy after, his belly was blown away. Yeah.
Was it him or the first guy's?
No, it was Maddox, yeah.
Okay. So, he grabbed his intestinator. So, the intestinators are apparently magnetized. So,
yeah.
You can just draw your intestinator up, you know, and out your mouth.
That's
with the other intestinator. I'm like, that's got to be a pretty strong magnet.
Yeah, that's the idea that Jeffrey Combs comes up with. His character D-Day decides, hey, you know, like, yeah, in school, you know, you take two magnets and, you know, you put a piece of paper in the middle and you move the magnets together, you know.
It's a magnetic detonator.
So?
Well, then you go to grade school, man, you get a couple of magnets, put a piece of paper in the middle, you move one.
You can pull it out of us.
Well... yeah, I mean, in theory. I mean, I haven't tried it yet. I mean, you know, I may just set this thing off, give this cell a coat of red paint. I don't know.
Let's find out.
What do you mean, like, right now?
You got a better time?
And he's like, okay, you know, so, yeah, they, you know, they start working on getting it out of them. And, yeah, of course, they're like, you know, like...
in severe pain.
Frothing and, you know, like, having trouble breathing and... you know, but they end up getting them all out, apparently. And
yeah.
Then Koopa...
I just really don't think that would work.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's like a definite do not try this at home
Yeah,
scenario.
I don't think that would logically work either. So when you're intestinated, be careful about following the example that this movie sets.
Yeah.
Don't find another intestinator
and, you know,
and try,
like,
to pull it out magnetically.
I don't even think, like, putting the intestinator in the mouth could get to the intestines because
right.
It has to go through the stomach.
That's what we were
like
talking about.
Some big
flaw. You asked the question at one point, and I thought it was very funny. You said, why doesn't it come out when you poop?
Yeah.
Right, Nicole?
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know, Nicole.
So, whatever. They just like the name intestinator.
Yeah,
and
you know...
maybe it was in their stomach.
This is like... you know, an action sci-fi movie from 1992, and maybe, you know, it's not completely, you know, on the up and up as far as all of the logical details, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, the prison escape plan, you know, they work on that, and they try to escape, and anyway, we don't have to spoil all of what happens. That's where the main big action sequence
yeah.
comes in. The scenes that stand out to me are like the battle at the beginning with Maddox and Brennick, those two characters battling, that always stands out. And the intestinator removal from the body, that always stands out in my mind too.
It's pretty
when
funny.
I think about Fortress. So yeah, and you know, a lot of the characters, a lot of the actors to me always stand out because they've been in a lot of things I've seen before, of course. So sure. Having them kind of grouped together in this is just kind of fun, I think, yeah. Right?
It's a fun movie. I think it does fly by because it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it goes by pretty quickly. A Mass or Murder, Nicole? Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
You go first.
So, A Mass or Murder, I would have to amass Fortress.
Because you've seen it, like, how many times?
Oh, yeah, I do watch it pretty often. It's kind of one of those guilty pleasures that, you know, sometimes I just throw it on and, you know, like, yeah, it's just, like you said, it's kind of a fast-paced movie, goes by pretty quickly, and, you know, I just like seeing these actors, yeah. These characters.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just a fun time for me. I don't think there's, you know, a lot of sense being made in this movie, really. Like
no, not
we said,
really.
You know, like the logic, there are certainly a lot of gaps in logic, but like I said, it's an action sci-fi movie.
There's really not much story.
No.
And there's not much logic, but it's fun.
To me, it's kind of forgivable. I'm willing to just kind of let that go and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
So, Fortress, I'll amass it. Nicole, what are you going to do?
I'm going to amass it, too.
You're going to amass it, too.
I enjoy this movie, too.
So we're keeping both Fortress movies.
Man.
Fortress from 1985, Fortress from 1992. Now, before we get to any final decisions, we do have to talk about the director, Stuart Gordon.
Okay.
So Stuart Gordon directed Fortress. He also directed a lot of other things over the years. Nicole, Reanimator in 1985. From Beyond, which is kind of a sister piece to Reanimator. That was in 1986. Dolls in 1987. The Pit and the Pendulum from 1991, which we said Jeffrey Combs is in that. Tom Tolles is in that. Lance Henriksen is in that movie as well. Fortress in 1992, of course. Castle Freak in 1995. He also is credited with the story credit, along with sort of a common collaborator, Brian Yuzna. They came up with the story idea for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting, Nicole?
It is interesting.
Anyway, so Stuart Gordon, yeah, did a lot of horror things that I'm a fan of over the years. And unfortunately, Stuart Gordon, just at the end of March, Nicole, he passed away. He was 72 years old, passed away on March 24th of 2020. So just, yeah, a few weeks ago. So I had this idea of title versus title, Fortress versus Fortress. That was one that I was hoping to do at some point. So, because Stuart Gordon passed away recently, we decided to work this one in.
Work this one in. So,
and how sad.
Do you have... I have a pretty clear idea of who should be called Fortress and the other one should get renamed.
What? No. We're not going to just rename it. The other movie is just eliminated.
Oh,
that movie
okay.
is burned.
I thought we were just going to like, but we amassed both of them.
If you want to come up with an alternate title, though, I would like to hear what this is. Can you come up with an alternate title for the movie?
Not a good one.
Oh, well, that's okay. We'd like to hear the bad title, too. So, yes, title versus title, Nicole. Let's decide who's the victor. Who wins Fortress 1985? Or Fortress 1992. We're disregarding any other movie named Fortress or The Fortress. These are the only two
These
that count.
These are the two that we're voting on. Okay.
Yes.
So do you have a vote?
Yes.
I have a vote as well. How are we going to do this?
Well, I guess we're going to have R2-D2 decide who goes first with their vote.
Okay. I thought we should just both yell out the date of
no,
the movie.
No, absolutely not. Here goes R2-D2. R2-D2 says number 4. Craig is always the oddball because he's the common Craig and he's very odd. Nicole's, of course, very, very normal. So that means you're even. So number 4, R2 says that you're going first.
I'm going first. Okay. So I think...
Title versus title. Who is the winner, Nicole?
I think the winner is Fortress. 1992.
Starring Christopher Lambert.
That's right.
Are you sure you made the right choice?
I did.
Okay. Title versus title.
Title versus title. Because I really feel like the other one could be named something else.
So that's your reasoning for it. Okay. So for me, title versus title. It's going to be unanimous because I'm going to go with Fortress 1992 as well. Because of the actors, because of Stuart Gordon. That's the one that I just watch the most.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I feel like Fortress from 1985...
It's more fortressy than the other Fortress.
...is probably the better film, Nicole. Probably the better film.
Okay.
Yes. You know, I think it's just a more solid overall effort than Fortress 1992. It just makes a little bit more sense, is a little bit more coherent, the better film. Although it has some issues too, but Fortress from 1992 has more issues, but like I said, they're forgivable for me. I'll let them go. So, title versus title,
we both decided.
Fortress 1992 is the winner of the Fortress battle.
30 stories below ground. Halfway to hell. And no way out.
What'd they give you?
31 years.
You are about to enter the Fortress, a privately owned maximum security prison operated by the Mentel Corporation.
John Brennick, the most decorated captain in the history of the Black Beret.
Prisoner 95763, step forward to be intestinated.
You have nothing. You are nothing.
We will monitor your behavior.
I don't think you realize your predicament. You have nowhere to hide.
We will control your thoughts.
The law is clear. We must maintain the population balance.
We will invade your dreams.
This is an unauthorized thought process.
So touchy.
Disobedience will not be tolerated.
It's been in there for 3 days. And no one has ever lasted four.
You will be enhanced and reprogrammed to be a more efficient human being.
When my kind are in the majority, there will be no more overpopulation.
A high-tech prison.
Who started the incident?
Built to withstand anything.
Let's find out.
Except an innocent man.
We go tomorrow morning. Activate the strike clone.
Christopher Lambert, Fortress, where the punishment is the ultimate crime.
Going out won't be fun.
Oh, but it's gonna be a trip.
Title versus title, Nicole. Fortress 1992 won the first title versus title battle. One thing I didn't mention about Fortress, Nicole, from 1992, that I meant to mention...
1992.
...is that Arnold Schwarzenegger had a stunt double that he worked with frequently. I can't recall his name offhand. It doesn't matter that much. Anyway, this man, the stunt man... was featured, actually, in Stuart Gordon's movie, Reanimator, as a naked, muscular corpse that they kind of have to, like, fight when they're in, like, the hospital morgue.
Okay.
So, because of this, the stuntman, you know, said, you know, told Arnold he was in this movie, right? So yeah. Arnold was like, oh, yeah, I better watch that. That wasn't an Arnold voice. You do Arnold saying that.
I better watch that.
I'd better watch that movie. So then he watches the movie, and then he loves Reanimator. So he starts, like, showing it to, like, his friends and stuff like that, you know. And it comes about to Stuart Gordon is, you know, working on making this movie Fortress. And he feels like, you know, hey, this would be a fantastic, you know, movie for Arnold. Arnold apparently at one point agrees to do the movie. But somehow, because, like, you know, Terminator 2 was 1991, which was, like, this huge, phenomenal, worldwide hit, right?
Yeah.
So, after that, then, Arnold, this is the time frame where it's going to be like Fortress or it's going to be something else. And it ends up, he ends up doing Last Action Hero instead of Fortress. So Stuart Gordon said that the budget originally for Fortress was supposed to be something like, you know, $80 to $100 million or something like that with Arnold attached.
Yeah.
But then when Arnold decided that he wasn't going to be involved, the budget dropped way down to whatever it ended up being, which was like, well, we said, you know, like $12 million or something like that. 12, 15, we were uncertain, remember. But, yes. Yeah, so anyway.
Well,
so,
that's a good bit of trivia. So that's kind of a,
yeah, Arnold was almost in Fortress instead of Christopher Lambert.
Huh.
Apparently. Huh, yeah, interesting trivia with Fortress from 1992, Nicole.
That's right.
Now, you said that, you know, like, we shouldn't just eliminate one of these two movies. We should just change the title to something else. You know,
well, come yeah, up with some other title. They were both good.
For the loser. So, yeah. Fortress 1985, what are we going to call it, Nicole, if we're not going to call it Fortress anymore? Are we just going to call it, like, Four Guys in Masks? The Four Masked Kidnappers.
The Great Outdoors.
No, it's already a movie called The Great Outdoors.
Yeah, but was it made before 1982?
No, 1985.
1985.
No, that movie came out after 1985.
Well, see, there you go. We could rename it that. Or like, I don't know, Survival 101.
Oh, that sounds terrible, Nicole. That sounds terrible.
Well, you know, I'm not making the big bucks naming movies.
You know what? You got to get better at this if you're going to make the big bucks naming movies, Nicole.
You know, you just threw this at me. It's not like I...
Well, you came up with it yourself. This was all your fault.
Well, what would you name it?
I said the Four Masked Kidnappers.
I don't think you're very good at that.
Oh, God. No, that's an awful name. But it fits the movie, right?
Kind of.
But not really. Anyway, so that didn't work out very well. But that's okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know what? Listeners, comment with your...
You can come up with your own title.
That's right.
Yes, that you're renaming it. You can do that. That'd be fine. So lately, Nicole, we've been like watching a lot of movies and stuff, right? Kind of hanging out, relaxing
at
home. Instead of going out and seeing a movie or going out to dinner, you just have to stay at home right now because of all of the... You know, insanity in the world.
I've read like 25 books.
See?
I've seen, you know, I don't know how many movies.
Oh, yeah. So many movies. So many television series episodes. You've probably watched like 30 television series already.
Come on, Craig.
Oh, God, Craig. You're full of nonsense. But yeah, so I've been the one who's been, you know, like going out and going to work, unfortunately. So, like, I'll go to like the... You know, the grocery store masked. I'll wear a mask, you know, for protection at the grocery store, right?
Your beard just doesn't repel all the germs.
No, Nicole, it collects them.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the other night, I had kind of a bad day. And I came home and I was like, man, you know, I'd kind of like to watch something kind of like, you know, light. Something kind of lighthearted, right?
Sure.
Something kind of fun. And you suggested, I think the first thing you said was... Beer Fest.
Oh, that's right.
So we watched Beer Fest, who is created by and starring the people from Broken Lizard, right?
I love their movies.
Yes, and yes, we had a lot of fun watching Beer Fest. But as I was watching Beer Fest, I think we were eating pizza or something, too. I was like, man, you know, like beer would be, you know, like really nice to have, you know, like right now. And I think there's like one bottle or a few bottles left in the refrigerator, but I didn't have one that night. But... Then when I was grocery shopping at the supermarket, I said, boy, I'd really like to have some, like, cheap beer. Because, you know, we're trying to, you know, like, conserve money and save as much money.
You didn't want some fancy highball beer.
That's right. I didn't want to spend a lot of money on beer. I just wanted some cheap beer. So I got some cheap beer, and, you know, like, that made me feel better after watching Beer Fest that, we have some cheap beer available in the house, right?
Right.
And then, like this morning, you heard me like open a can, and you said, "Are you having a beer already?" And I said, "No, it's not even noon."
You're like, "It's only 11.
Yeah, it's not even noon. I'm not gonna have a beer yet. So yeah, I thought that was weird. There's like this weird like beer time frame in my mind. Like you shouldn't have a beer before like noon.
Well, that is kind of weird. I would think you'd just have a beer whenever you felt like it.
But apparently, in my mind, not before noon.
Craig can't drink before noon.
Don't drink the beer before noon. That's right.
Unless it's like Bloody Marys or mimosas or something, right?
That's right. No, I wouldn't drink those anyway. Now, Nicole, what else do we have coming up on the podcast? I'll tell you what. We came up with an idea for the next episode. But before we do that, we're going to talk about a few more that are coming up. In the month of May, probably, is when they'll hit. Maybe this other one will hit at the end of April. We'll see. It's only April 18th. Surely this other one will hit. But anyway, in May, May is my birthday month for the people who don't know. That's my birthday month.
Oh, you got to celebrate the whole month.
Yeah, the whole month. On my birthday, I wanted to release a specific episode, an actor autopsy of a certain action hero. But I won't reveal who it is yet. But then earlier in May, Hammer Horror, I wanted to do a Hammer Horror episode, Hammer Films, Hammer Studios, the British kind of like equivalent of, in the U.S., Universal Studios, like Universal Monsters. Well, in the UK, they did their own version of kind of those characters. And Hammer, under the banner of, yeah, Hammer, yes. So, but we're not going to do kind of the main Hammer movies. What we're going to do is my three favorite Hammer movies that are not part of a certain series. So not part of like the Dracula series, the Frankenstein series.
Okay.
Quatermass series. No, we're just going to do three separate movies on their own that are my favorite kind of separate Hammer horrors that are not part of a series.
It is your birthday month.
It is my birthday month, so that's what I'm choosing to do.
Okay.
For the month of May, unless something else gets in there too. It depends on how much time we have on our hands. We'll have to wait and see.
You just never know.
Who knows? We might be in our house forever.
Maybe.
But this next episode, Nicole. Next. Because this episode with the Fortress movies, they're a little bit more obscure. Maybe the listeners aren't that excited about Fortress like I am. I don't know why they wouldn't be. They should be.
I'm excited about the next episode.
Well, what?
I like lists.
Oh, lists? Is that what the next episode's going to be about?
Oh, yeah, lists.
Huh. It's going to be a top five. So we're going to do a top five vampire movies, but specifically from the 1980s.
So 80s vampire movies top five.
80s, awesome. Vampire movies. 80s only, top five. We might have a few honorable mentions, I'm sure, but
this is fun. I'm getting very excited.
You are excited! We hope the listener is excited too! Sorry, I got really excited. Anyway, we hope it'll be fun. We know listeners love lists. So a top five, that should be right up everybody's alley. That's got to be better than rats. That's got to be better than fortresses. Sure as hell is a lot better than Linda Boring Blair. No, I'm kidding. I don't mean that, Linda Blair. You're sensational. So, anyway, that's what we have coming up for the next episode. So gear up for that. We're not going to tell you what the movies are until the episode hits.
Right, and you know, I don't know.
Then we're going to count them down. We're going to rank them during the episode 5 through 1.
Right.
Yeah, so get ready for that. That should be exciting because vampires are never overexposed. We've talked about that in the past, that vampires, there are never enough vampire movies. We always need more and more. No, I'm kidding. Vampires are definitely overexposed, which is why we have to cover them because there are so many of them, right?
That is correct.
We got to get some out of the way here. Yeah. Okay. Nicole got very silent. She didn't want to talk about it anymore. So let's wrap this one up, Nicole.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we're going to encourage the listener to send us some feedback.
Yeah. Give us the name, your alternate name for Fortress.
Yes, alternate name for Fortress.
Yeah.
Either one if you want, that's fine. And then, you know, maybe start throwing out some of your favorite vampire movies.
Yeah.
you know, from the 80s probably, but, you know, if you, like, think of something else from another, and you're like, I like this one from the 90s, well, you can tell us what that is, but it's not going to be on the show. Because this is an 80s top five vampire movies. So, yeah, it's great to hear about the 90s, that's fine, but yes, it's not going to make the cut. So, where can they send us some feedback, Nicole?
So, Facebook.
Facebook, on the page, A Cure for the Common Craig.
Instagram.
Instagram. And that is Cure for the Common Craig.
Twitter, sometimes.
Twitter. You can give us a tweet at Common Craig.
And our web.
Well, you can go to the website. There's no contact information really on there other than the social media stuff. So you can go to the website, which is cureforthecommoncraig.com. Go to the website, click on the Amass or Murder button. You'll see the list of episodes that you can listen to. Go ahead and listen to all of the episodes in order or any order you choose. But make sure to listen to every single episode or you'll be cursed somehow.
Oh my gosh, because don't that's curse what we people,
do.
Craig.
That's what we do here at the CCC. Is we curse people when they don't listen to each and every episode. So you better be careful as a listener, is all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
The Center for Craig Control is getting out of hand.
He doesn't really curse anybody.
Everybody's cursed. He doesn't. We're also going to try to, like, I'm going to try to get better about letting the listener know where movies can be found. Like, if they are streaming or something like that currently, presently, okay. When the episode is released, I'll try to let you know if the episode is, or if the, not the episode, if the movies that we cover are streaming somewhere at the time. Right now, I can tell you from the look of it, Fortress 1985, Fortress 1992, nope. You can't find them streaming anywhere. If you search around, maybe you dig around, as our friend Mia likes to say, on the dark web, you might find something out there where you could watch it, but we are not condoning that sort of behavior, Nicole. Absolutely not. Anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast, the show, because it is a show, Nicole. And we hope you've enjoyed your experience here with us today. Please take care of yourselves, because there's a lot of craziness right now. Stay safe. Wash your hands, as they say. Wear a face mask. Don't get filth in your beard.
Don't rub your beards on any grocery store cart.
Why would you do that?
I'm just throwing out tips.
But then don't throw the gloves on the ground, because that's littering, and that's very poor, bad behavior. So don't do that. Throw them away in a proper trash receptacle. Recycle them if you can.
Or right, Nicole? Just stay in and watch horror movies.
Just stay in, listen to the show, and watch horror movies.
And listen to the show.
Yes. Don't forget to listen to the show. Okay, Nicole, let's wrap this up. And we're going to have some dinner pretty soon. And probably have to take showers, because when you're at home, you know, you wait until very late in the day to take showers. We're disgusting. You got to take a shower, right?
Speak for yourself. I'm not disgusting.
Oh, just me. Just the common. <disgusting. laughs> Hey, here comes Poppy. She's going to get back on the show. All right. Since Poppy's coming out, we got to cut this off because she's going to start going crazy. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves. We know a lot of people are going through some hard times right now. Hang in there. Things eventually have to turn around to some kind of new normal, which is not going to be the old normal, but it'll be a new normal. So have a good time whenever that happens. In the meantime, just try to stay relaxed. Don't lose your minds. Behave yourselves. Anything else, Nicole?
Bye.
Okay, goodbye.